I'm back from vacation, which means it's time for another Femme Fatale podcast. Welcome to everyone from me, Leslie Gornstein, your host. This is, once again, after my vacation, this is a podcast about how things really work in Hollywood. You send me your questions about how Hollywood really works, the stuff that celebrities don't want you to know, assuming that they even know I exist, and I answer them. And you send them to me via Twitter and Facebook and email and the Tumblrs and the whatever, the Instagram thing the kids are Snapchatting, whatever. Anyway, welcome to a new edition of my show. I've been on vacation. I've come back, which means that I am sick because it looks like I spent a week with a three-year-old and a five-and-a-half-year-old, so it serves me right. I know, I was only sick recently, but I think this one I'm going to be able to fight off with my amazing superpower, the truth. With me this week is Harmony Walton. She is of the Bridal Bar, which is a top celebrity wedding planning service and wedding planning service for normal people, too, here in Los Angeles. She is also the star and host of Bridal Bar Radio on iHeartRadio. She is my co-host today. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
I love having you, Harmony. Now, the reason why she sounds a little fuzzed out is because I'm sick and I didn't want to get her sick, so I wouldn't let her come to the home studio and record. So she's on a phone, all primitive style. So all of you like soundophiles out there, audiophiles out there who think that she's fuzzy, it's for health and human safety purposes. So there you go.
You've just been like drinking all your wine again.
Well, there is that. I did bring back this this bottle of blueberry wine, believe it or not. Ooh. Blueberry wine from North Carolina. I don't know if any of your brides have ever requested blueberry wine, but there's a place in North Carolina that sells it. And we put it on ice, like a sangria, with a wedge of lime. And if you want to top it with some club soda, you can. Let me tell you, our family, six people, went through six bottles in 1 week. That's how good it is.
That's not very much. That's not very good.
Are you kidding? For us? Really?
6 in a week? Come on. You can do better than that on vacation.
You need to talk to my mom because my mom was just like, oh my God, we went through six because we were also going through vodka, tequila, other bottles of wine, beer. No, you have no idea what we're capable of. We're capable of shooting down quite a few dead soldiers.
Okay, that makes a little more sense too.
Yes. Now, speaking of weddings, you're my special guest this week for a serious reason. Of course, while I was on vacation, Brad and Angelina dared to get married at their fancy French estate in France. And of course, the second that happened, my Twitter blew up and I'm like, I'm on vacation. Oh my God, look at her dress. Oh my God, I'm on vacation. Oh my God, her kids' drawings are all over her dress. I'm on vacation. More blueberry wine. But now that I'm back, I'm going to answer questions, among other things, about this wedding. Harmony, who knows all about how celebrities get married because she's been involved in a couple of very, very, very high-profile celebrity weddings, yes?
Yes, a few.
Quite a few, knows exactly how they work. So, Harmony, why don't you read aloud the reader's question that we're going to answer, and then I'm going to let you fire away.
Okay, Brian C. asks via Twitter, how did Brad and Angie keep their wedding a secret? And I think it's because you were on vacation. They found out you were going to be on vacation, and they booked the date and ran.
I think that's probably it. They were probably just waiting by their calendars.
Seriously, like, I couldn't say yes to any movies. They were like, I heard Leslie is going to be drinking a lot of wine that week. Let's just do it.
And by the way, speaking of wine, I have tasted their Miraval wine, the wine that's grown on their estate, the grapes that are grown on their estate. It's a rosé, and it's not very good.
Well,
I just wanted to point that out because the first case of it sold out in like 5 minutes.
Well, I would buy it too, to be honest. I mean, anything that Brad Pitt may have touched or breathed on or anything like that, I'm all in for.
Really? You know that there's a tiny Greek man out there that looks just like him. Did you know that?
Oh.
Yeah, he's a model. I'll send you a photo. I'll put it up on my page too. Yeah, there's a, maybe you can get your hands on him.
The pilot doppelganger, the guy that got arrested?
I don't think no, he's not the guy who got arrested. He's like a model. He's like an actual model in Europe, and he's got a Greek name, but he's like tiny compared to Brad Pitt, but he looks just like Brad Pitt, and he gets mobbed a lot. But I figure his legs are shorter, so he's going to be easier to catch up to when he starts running, so you may be able to get him.
That's a great idea. Yeah. And if he's at can just lock him up in my closet and keep him for, you know,
whenever I get squish him down in your pocket until you're ready for
him. There we go.
All right. So I think I know how they kept the wedding secret, but I want to hear what you found out.
Well, I think number one is they had, you know, just a handful of people. You could literally, as you said, put them all in your pocket. When you cut out, when you trim the fat, you cut out all the family and friends, and you get married on your own property, you get rid of hundreds of hotel staff and employees and vendors and all of those things that are going to leak information. You're not mailing invitations. You're calling mom. You're doing things like that that will really allow you to keep it in this very tight-knit group that you already trust that has already not leaked the birth of your child or this, that, and the other in the past. And so you know that the only people that are going to be there are the people that you know can keep a secret.
And of course, like you said, the property is massive. And do you know if they had like a cake or anything like that?
The rumor is that the kids actually baked the cake. I mean, they had very few vendors. Her dress was Atelier Versace, which was the designer, someone she's worked with for years. So she had a confidant in the dress designer. And then a lot of the little details and elements were just produced on property. I'm assuming they drank their own wine. The kids baked the cake. The kids actually wore clothes that they had in their closets. Brad borrowed a tie from his son. These things that, you know, may cause a leak in the chain of command, they just didn't happen because those things didn't exist at this type of event. It wasn't, I mean, of course, it certainly was a wedding, but it wasn't a wedding by celebrity wedding standards that we have come to know them about in the States.
Yes. Very good. Yeah, and most of the leaks that do happen about celebrity weddings do happen from the vendors, right? They don't happen from publicists or family.
Well, you know, have we met the Kardashians?
They yeah, okay, can't okay, okay, fair enough.
From publicists and family. But, you know, I wouldn't say they always come from vendors. A lot of times they come from guests. You know, a guest will leak an invitation that they received to TMZ or something like that. You know, somebody that maybe is on the fringe was looking to make a quick buck.
So the only piece that's now missing is the marriage license, which of course can be the source of a leak if you wind up going to like a freaking courthouse and get that locked down, which obviously they did not do. So there was something, obviously this rumor that they hired a private judge to marry them out in France, but as you were telling me earlier, that doesn't seem to make much sense. How do you think they kept this marriage private from a licensing perspective?
Well, the rumor that I had heard was that they actually got a California confidential marriage license, did the deed here, and then went back and did it again in France. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me because you wouldn't need to take a judge to 2 points because it's going to be rare that the judge is going to be able to legally preside over a ceremony in both the state of California and in France. So you would tie the knot and make it legal wherever the judge is able to make that legal. Now, if they did it here in California, they could get the confidential marriage license. They could go to the home. No one would be the wiser. In France, I'm not 100% sure on all of their legal requirements, but I can tell you that for a typical wedding couple, it is a lot more difficult to get married in France. They have longer residency requirements. They make you jump through a few more hoops, which obviously Brad and Angie were more than capable of doing with their army of staff. But my guess is they have some variation of you can buy your way into secrecy into a license so that you've got somebody that you trust on the inside to come to the home to tie the knot. Or they could have done a spiritual ceremony. I don't think we've seen any evidence that they are legally married yet. They could have done that ceremony and then decide to go to the courthouse later on and actually make it official.
Yeah, so either the judge married them here and it was a confidential license, in which case, as we know, they were then married before they said they were married, just like with Kim Kardashian,
absolutely.
Because as soon as you get a confidential marriage license in the state of California, especially in the county of LA, you are married right there on the spot. That's the law. So, yes. Or what you're saying is there was no license at all. The judge thing, the rumor that they hired a judge to marry them, a California judge to marry them, just is completely maybe not true. And they had a ceremonial marriage wedding out in France, and they're not legally married yet, is what you're saying.
That could be the case. They could have opted for a friend or family member to preside over the ceremony. That person could be ordained. They don't have to be to have that spiritual ceremony, but that's certainly one way to keep a leak from getting out is, again, keeping it within the family, just those 10-20 people that were in attendance, and then there's no other point, no other window cracked open where someone you may not know very well could potentially get that information out.
So just to wrap this up, we're probably looking at one of two things. There were really two weddings, really. The legal wedding here, right?
Right.
And then the spiritual non-binding wedding in France. Or there was just a spiritual wedding. Probably.
Or they don't have a U.S. marriage license. They strictly did it as French residents.
Do you happen to know if you need to visit a public courthouse or anything like that in France to get married there?
The little experience I have in it, you can buy your way out of doing that. Very hefty fee and have a service come to you. But it is a bigger process than it is here in the state of California. We make it really easy for people to tie the knot out here. Not so much out there.
Really? France, the country of love.
Well, perhaps for their citizens, but certainly not for Americans wanting to get married in, the city of love.
Of course not. Of course not. Yeah. So do we want to ask your opinion on the dress?
I thought it was, if I had just seen it on on the runway, I would have thought it was tasteless and dated. But because it was very specific to her kids and her family, and that was very much what this wedding was about, I thought it was very appropriate. We knew she wasn't going to do something average or typical. I mean, she used to wear blood around her neck on a necklace, right? So
right.
It was going to be a little different. And, she definitely pulled that off. And I think if your kids are old enough to understand what's going down at your own wedding, then honoring them and incorporating them into the wedding is a really great thing to do. I just haven't seen it done on a dress before.
Final question about that dress, actually. Celebrity brides and their dresses, do they tend to store and deal with their dresses after the wedding in the same way that the average bride does, just kind of vacuum packing it and sealing it away?
No, it goes down a little bit differently, though the concept is the same. You do get your gown preserved. There's a company called J. Schur & Co. out of New York, which does all the, red carpet type wedding dresses. And it's literally thousands of dollars. You ship your dress out or they come collect it and they will clean it, box it, preserve it, display it however you like, in a way that they have deemed to be far more detailed and intricate and, effective at preserving a gown than, sending it to the dry cleaner and then vacuum sealing it away. Or you could go with Britney Spears and have it shadow boxed above your bed. I mean, there's a million ways you could do it. I had Lisa Vanderpump in my store at one point when her daughter was getting married, and she was all into that. She was like, what ways can we, preserve the gown for all to enjoy all days of the year? And she was very much interested in finding a way to keep it on display 12 months out of the year for her daughter.
And what did they decide on?
I don't know. I gave them the shadow box idea, but I believe Adrienne Maloof had done something similar. I wouldn't say one up, but go a little in a different direction. And I'm not really sure what they came up with.
Very good. Now, is there any chance at all that they may now run out to a courthouse, Brad and Angelina, and just get real married on the fly and surprise everybody and be like, that other wedding was fake?
Well, here's the difference, though. It's not fake. It's your wedding day. It's just not the piece of paper.
Okay. I'm being unfair.
They probably won't run out to the courthouse, but they might send someone to the home to actually execute the paperwork. That's certainly possible.
Thank you, Harmony.
It's just a matter of paperwork, really.
You're right. I'm a cynical, cackling, evil genius. All right. Shall we move on to the next question?
Sure.
Shall you read it aloud?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Jenny Burton.
Sorry. Start over. Hold on. Let me do it one more time. Sorry. Okay.
What's her name?
Hold on.
Is it not Jenny Bergstrom?
It is, but I kept talking over you, and it's my fault. Here we go. Next question, please.
Jenny Bergstrom asked via the Femme Fatale Facebook page, yes, we are all sick of the ice bucket challenge, but I must know, why did Bill Gates challenge Ryan Seacrest? Do they know each other? Is Bill a fan? I'm fascinated.
Well, you know that Ryan Seacrest is basically the Bill Gates of music. He's incredibly powerful, incredibly popular, with no real innovative cred whatsoever. Okay. He is like the bland every America sort of Walmart version of what Bill Gates is to tech. So they're basically, the first thing you need to know is they are the same person. Second thing you need to know is that I actually asked Ryan Seacrest's people this, just for you. And I didn't realize that the two versions of the same man have ever come together, but it's true. Ryan has met Bill. Ryan was a spokesperson for Bing, the searchy service a few years back. So they know each other. That's how they have met. They do know each other. It's not just like a mutual admiration society. Like, oh, you're the me of music. I challenge you. It was not like that.
I think he was looking for concert tickets personally.
You think, oh, for what? Billy Joel?
Yeah, there you go. He couldn't score him, so he hit the Ryan Seacrest.
Oh, yeah. He wants those Ariana Grande tickets real bad. Oh, God. Okay, next question.
Claude B. asks via Facebook, hello, Leslie.
Hello.
Could you do a podcast on Joan Rivers and her superpowers, please?
Yeah, yes. You know, Joan Rivers also had the balls to die while I was on vacation. Not cricket. Not cool. Not cool. People who don't understand the influence that this woman has had, people who just see her as a mean insult comic who died, don't know their entertainment history. Harmony, have you ever seen a documentary called A Piece of Work?
Never even heard of it.
It's a documentary about her and her life, how she lived her life. And it basically explains the contributions that she made to comedy, how many people she's influenced, and why she was important. I personally believe that she influenced a lot more than just women in comedy. I believe that one of the reasons it's okay for me to cuss on a podcast is because of her. I believe that slinging funny insults, any woman out there who slings funny insults, any woman out there who's outspoken and unafraid is in some way a tiny bit related to or a descendant of Joan Rivers. I also think that when it comes to the brand of comedy that she pioneered for women, it's very important. A lot of people point to Lucille Ball and say, she was just like, she was this pioneering woman in comedy. Yes, she was a pioneering. Lucille Ball was a pioneering woman in comedy for television and for comedic acting. But even Lucille Ball, there were certain ceilings she couldn't crack. She was always still, was submissive to a man. She was infantilized woman. She made those baby cries. You know, she was always about, Ricky won't let me do this, Ricky won't let me do that. She had great physical comedic skills, obviously, and she was a force in her own right when she wasn't in front of a camera. But she still put herself in a box that Joan Rivers refused to be put into. She refused to be submissive. She refused to be a lady. And I think any woman who's any woman knows what it's like to be put in the lady box and be told to act like a lady and what a little bit of a prison that can be. Joan Rivers was the one that, for me anyway, helped me bust out of that lady prison, and I will always be thankful to her for that.
Aww.
Thank you. She'd be barfing right now if she heard me say that.
What?
She's barfing in her grave.
No, she'd be grateful that she impacted so many people, for the good, the bad, or the ugly.
Did you ever have any run-ins with her?
I did not, but I love hearing everyone's stories. My favorite one was, this going to out me a little about my Instagram case, but there is an account called The Fat Jewish. You have to follow him. He's hysterical.
Okay.
And he, let's just say his look and his fashion sense leave something to be desired. And he posted a tribute to her. And he basically said, when I met her, she came up to me and, you know, told me to get an effing haircut and this, that, and the other, and just destroyed me. And he's like, and I will always love her for that.
And well, you know, a good grandmother does the same thing. So
Exactly.
You know?
She was everyone's grandmother.
She kind of was. And one interesting thing, you know, she was always working. She worked the day before she went into a coma. She did a full set at a club in Manhattan because she wanted to. And she was not poor, but she flew commercial. I once saw her in a first class cabin.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, look at you. You're not flying in a private jet. You go.
Now, you both worked at E. Did you ever see her in an office?
I did not ever see her in the office. No, I did have the pleasure of working for her indirectly by writing for her Fashion Police blog for a short time. And at one point, I put together, I guess, some observations about celebrity dresses. And I heard through the grapevine, somebody got back to me and said, Joan Rivers saw that. She likes your notes. I guess that's what you call them when it's anything other than what than a joke that she's going to write, is she likes your notes. So at one point, the goddess did smile directly upon me.
So you can take that to your grave.
Oh, I'm gonna. Now,
awesome.
Now, I think we have time for one more question. Go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Midlife midwife.
Yes.
Theater.
Yes.
Red carpet arrivals, scheduled times, prearranged interview spots with networks. Seems like some know stars are coming and some don't.
Yes, there is usually. Let me explain the hidden world of red carpet events. Let's specifically talk about movie premieres for a minute. There was a movie premiere I was actually going to go to tonight before I fell ill at the hands of a booby hatch full of children, and it's for a movie called 8 Days. It's debuting in just a few hours, actually, over at the Grove here in Los Angeles, and it's actually a pretty important movie. It's a movie about based on true events, inspired by true events, and it's about human trafficking. It's about a person who becomes the victim of human trafficking, and that person's story. And this film is actually scheduled to premiere in eight premieres in major cities across the country, and it's going to benefit local groups that help fight human trafficking. Now, I also got with every invitation to a film premiere that I get, there are two things. There's information like that about the film, and there's also a tip sheet that is sent out in advance about every celebrity that's confirmed to come, so that you know whom to expect and you can do your research in advance before you ask questions. For example, at this premiere, the actress Anna Lynn McCord from Dallas and 90210, and I think from that horror movie Excision, she's going to be there. Katie Leclerc from Switched at Birth, Odeya Rush from The Giver, she was the Teen Choice Award breakout star of 2014, and a bunch of Mrs. States, Mrs. Nevada, Mrs. California, they're going to be there. So you get this in advance, and like I said, there's a reason for that, so that you know whom to expect. You know, if there's something that Anna Lynn is doing, you know, coming up, some new movie or something, you can actually ask her about it on the red carpet and sound intelligent. You can also decide whether the star power is big enough that you want to go to the event. I would have liked to have gone to this event because I think this issue is important. I also happen to know and like the publicist who's in charge of it. And I like to go to red carpet premieres. So I'm very sad I couldn't go, but you really don't want whatever hellish mini Ebola childborn virus I have. Now, as far as prearranged interviews and the order of appearance goes, there are two ways that this is usually done. One, if you're a major magazine like Us Weekly, where I used to work, you get invited to the premiere. You see the list of celebrities. You see several that you want to ask questions of. You call up the personal publicist for those celebrities and say, can I get 2 minutes with Brad Pitt when he's walking down the red carpet? And the answer they will 99.9% of the time tell you is maybe. And what they're really trying to say is, I have no control over my client. If he feels like talking to you, he will. If I can help it, though, he will never, ever speak to you. That's what that means. Or they'll say, what is it you want to know about? And I'll say, very specifically, I want to ask him about his new child trafficking movie. And the publicist will say, oh, my God, that's really close to his heart. Okay, if you stick to that, I can give you 30 seconds. Then when you get to the event, you say, hi, I'm that person. They say, yeah, here he comes. You get your 30 seconds. Bob's your uncle. Everything's fine. Those are the two ways it usually happens. Now, when it comes to prearranged interviews, those also tend to happen, but usually they tend to happen with an on-camera interview so that, you know, live red carpet coverage of, say, the Emmys can happen in a smooth manner.
But
Or what?
Or, not to interrupt.
Go ahead.
100 years ago, before I was in the wedding industry, I did PR. And when you're not somebody that's the star of the show, but you're walking the red carpet just to try and get your 15 seconds, it kind of works the flip way. You know, I was low man on the totem pole. I was right out of college when I did this. But we had, like, I took Patrick Dempsey at the time. He, you know, hadn't done Grey's Anatomy and or I don't even remember what show he was on now. But
did he have the old nose or the new nose?
You know, I don't know. I didn't know he had a different nose.
Oh, yeah.
But it was pre his new resurgence. It was, you know, he was still trading off of the 80s, 90s movies. And I took him to a premiere for a movie he wasn't in, and I had to go early and pass out headshots and tip sheets on him and try and wrangle people to want to interview him before he got there. So
yes,
that when he arrived, he would get, you know, 30 seconds with Us Weekly or Entertainment Tonight or whatever, even though he had nothing to do with the movie, but just maybe giving a soundbite saying how thrilled he was for his friends. You know, it was never inauthentic. He would go because his buddy was starring in it or he had worked with the director before or something like that.
Right.
Kind of, it was our sales pitch to get him back in front of the camera as well.
That does happen. It does happen. Yeah, like with stars like Patrick Dempsey or with like the next new teen pop star, you know, Jenny Jessica Daniel or whatever her name is. You haven't heard of her yet. The publicist will walk down the line of reporters and say, anyone want to interview Jenny Jessica Daniel? Jenny Jessica Daniel? Anybody want to? You don't know her. She's got that new single with, you know, Iggy Azalea where she sings the hook. Anybody want to talk to her? And, you know, sometimes you just want to do it because you feel sorry for the publicist. I would not have had any problem speaking to Patrick Dempsey, just so you know.
No, and, you know, he was beloved, especially most of it was a rom-com thing, so everybody there were female, and they were all dying to talk to him anyway, so it worked out.
So you did not have a problem doing your job that day, I'm assuming.
No, it was not a hard job that day.
No. Now, arrivals themselves can also be timed. You'll notice that the biggest stars, and Harmony, you can back me up on this, the biggest stars usually arrive the latest. You get
at the last
minute, right? Right? And that the smaller stars show up first. And then the biggest stars show up last, right?
Oh, it's a pecking order, absolutely. And it's a quick way for those publicists to be like, sorry, he doesn't have time to answer that awkward question. He's got to get into the movie.
Exactly, exactly. Unless, of course, he wants to, which is why it always there's always the occasional story that comes out. They're like, George Clooney spent 10 extra minutes signing autographs. It's like, that's why that's unusual. Because
absolutely.
Usually they're the last person to arrive and they're holding up the whole premiere.
Their movie as well they
should,
right?
Yes, as well they should. George Clooney can hold up anything of mine that he likes.
And then he gets back to the movie theater with you.
Exactly, exactly. So yeah, that's why you'll notice a few years ago when Brad and Angelina showed up at the Oscars when she wore those big big emerald green earrings and the E! Hosts had a complete heart attack and forgot that they were reporters for a second. They had arrived last and everybody was waiting for them. And they did that on purpose.
Now, I've heard rumors that people will also coordinate in time arrivals away from people that they have beef with. So if the exes are going to the same event, they make sure they come at opposite ends of the spectrum.
I have heard that too. Have you ever had personal experience organizing that?
Not personally. I've worked with people that don't have a lot of beef, luckily. But, but you know, it makes sense because even if, say it's an ex-husband or an ex-wife, and maybe they're friendly, but that awkward exchange with the new girlfriend or the new wife or the hi, hello, whether it's a friendly smile or an awkward smile or whatever it might be that they're going to have on the red carpet if they bump into each other, that photograph could be taken a million and one ways when it ends up in print in a magazine. So you just don't want that photograph to ever exist.
Right, right. Because you don't want somebody slapping a headline on it that doesn't have anything to do with what happened that day.
Exactly.
Well, I think I have to stop speaking because my throat is aching from all the truth that has come through it in such a short amount of time. So I think that we're done. I think that we've done a very good job here, Harmony. I think that we've basically pelted people with truth for about a half hour, and I think we're done.
You do it so well.
I do. I pelt very well. I have very good aim with my truth. So for people who want to reach me and they have questions of their own about how Hollywood really works, you can email me at leslie@thefamefatale.com. There is a feedback module on my homepage, which is at www.thefamefatale.com. You can always tweet me at FameFataleSays or look for me on Facebook. Now, Harmony, if somebody is planning a wedding and they want to have it, say, just like a celebrity, how do they reach you?
Then go to bridalbar.com and check us out there and make an appointment to come in. And you can also go to iHeartRadio.com, do a search for Bridal Bar to find my radio show, which you need to come on one of these days, please.
As soon as I'm not ailing, I will come on.
Okay, good.
Then that should be any day now because I'm a fighter. I'm a fighter, Harmony.
You're not going down, not this time.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. We will see you next time.